Press Conference USA on the Voice of America. Newsmakers from America and around the world speak with journalists in an unscripted and unrehearsed discussion about the critical issues facing the United States and the world. Here is your host on this edition of Press Conference USA, Carol Castiel.
Welcome to Press Conference USA on the Voice of America. Our topic on this edition of the program, using social media to counter the narrative of violent extremism around the world. Our guest, Ambassador Alberto Fernandez. He's coordinator of the Center for Strategic Counterterrorism Communications in the U.S. Department of State. And we're coming to you from his office at the State Department. Ambassador Fernandez has served in a number of senior diplomatic posts prior to taking the helm at the Center for Strategic Counterterrorism Communications. He was U.S. Ambassador to Equatorial Guinea, chargé d'affaires in the Republic of Sudan, and has worked in Iraq, Afghanistan, Jordan, Syria, Guatemala, and too many other countries to mention. He is fluent in Spanish and Arabic. Ambassador Fernandez came to the United States as a refugee from Cuba in 1959. We'll talk with Ambassador Fernandez about how his office combats propaganda from Al-Qaeda and its allies and adherents around the world. If, as Ayman al-Zawahiri, the current leader of Al-Qaeda, once said, that media is more than half the battle with regard to their fight against the West, then surely all those who wish to fight their narrative of extremism must also do so via the media and digital space. We'll talk with Ambassador Fernandez how his office goes about doing just that. Ambassador Fernandez, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here with you on The Voice of America.
And we're delighted to have you, and thanks again for hosting us here in your office. Well, Ambassador Fernandez, tell us in your words when and why the Center for Strategic Counterterrorism Communications was created.
Well, CSCC was created informally in 2010 and then formally by the White House by executive order on September 9th, 2011. The idea was that because media, communications, propaganda is such a huge issue of what Al-Qaeda wants to do, the interest was that there should be an entity in the U.S. government that would be an interagency organization, including different parts of the government, and that would focus just on counterterrorism communications. So we live, breathe, and eat the messaging of Al-Qaeda. We look at it, we analyze it, and we see how we can counter it. That's basically our job in a nutshell.
And how do you go about doing that specifically?
Well, I would say two things. One, of course, you rely on the building blocks, the messages, the words, and the images of what our adversaries put out. And so we use that. But we do several things. One, of course, is the work of government, is to work with others in government towards a common goal. So to push a greater understanding of the challenges, to educate others in government about themes, opportunities, problems that we see in the messaging of the adversary. Secondly, is to work with others in government, with our embassies overseas, with friendly governments throughout the world, and building capacity to push back against this poison which Al-Qaeda seeks to propagate throughout the world. And third, and probably the part that is best known of our work, is we have a direct digital arm, our digital outreach team, which goes into social media, which goes into this great ungoverned space, which is the internet, where Al-Qaeda trolls for victims, where it tries to deceive people, to seduce people, to trick them, and to mislead them with false information to get people to join their ranks and commit terrorism.
Certainly, I've heard many analysts say that this is really the critical space. I mean, one can try to fight the enemy militarily through the use of drones and so forth, but combating this propaganda, the narrative, is so important. How daunting a task have you found this to be, Ambassador Fernandez?
Well, it is very daunting, and I think one always has to approach an issue like this with a healthy serving of humility of the challenge, of realizing that we don't have all the answers, that this is not some kind of magic trick that you just snap your fingers and you can refute the messaging of the adversary. It's not easy work. If it was easy, somebody would have done it a long time ago. As you know, Al-Qaeda really begins formally in 1998 as a formal entity existed informally, obviously, many years before that. But 1998, it announces its opposition and declares war on the United States. And it's a dozen years after that that CSCC gets started. So it is a daunting task. The rise of the internet has been, in a way, a boon for extremists because it's allowed them to disseminate information more rapidly and more easily. Internet is really wonderful, and we all use it and we all appreciate it. There is an element of it that is superficial that can lead to kind of a misleading, confusing, and erroneous view of the world. How often have you heard people say, oh, I read some ridiculous or stupid thing on the internet? Well, imagine if it's a terrorist trying to do the same thing, to propagate erroneous or exaggerated or false information. So it's a huge task. It's something that we take on with our eyes wide open, and we certainly don't put out the idea that we have solved the problem of radicalization or extremism. It's a war with 1,000 skirmishes that goes on every single day and has different emphases and different elements every single day. It shifts from day to day.
Who specifically are you targeting? Who is your audience?
Even though we message against Al-Qaeda and we cross swords or we exchange attacks with Al-Qaeda supporters every single day, they're not our target audience. They are people who have already been radicalized and have already gone off the deep end. What we seek to do is to contest space where Al-Qaeda, before our presence, had a free run on setting the stage, of setting the parameters of the discussion, of seeking to radicalize or polarize the discussion. You may have disagreements with U.S. foreign policy. You may be unhappy with U.S. foreign policy. I know there have been times that I've been unhappy with U.S. foreign policy and I've had disagreements with U.S. foreign policy. But what Al-Qaeda seeks to do is to take people who are unhappy or who disagree with something and to take them down a certain path. A path which unfortunately has inflicted incredible suffering and damage, not to the West, although of course the West has suffered and the United States has suffered at the hands of Al-Qaeda, but to the Muslim masses themselves. The dirty little story of Al-Qaeda is that the overwhelming majority of the victims of Al-Qaeda are Muslims. Al-Qaeda kills Muslims every single day, whether in Mali or in Syria or in Pakistan or in Somalia. They talk about the West, they talk about America, they talk about the Jews, but what do? They do killing of Muslims every single day. That is something that we want to remind these at-risk populations of, kind of unmasking the true face of Al-Qaeda before those audiences.
Indeed, exposing this disconnect between their words and their actual deeds. Talk about the regions that you were targeting, because we know that Al-Qaeda Central now has decentralized to some extent. We're seeing Al-Qaeda affiliates in North Africa, AQIM, of course, in Yemen, AQAP, and now we're seeing, you know, in Syria, more Al-Qaeda affiliates, Nigeria, Boko Haram, to the extent it's affiliated or not with Al-Qaeda. Nonetheless, it is very violent. Do you work in the local languages? Talk more about your tactics and strategy.
Well, we, of course, try to mirror or reflect the reality on the ground. So we seek to go where they go. We work mostly in Arabic, Urdu, Somali. We've done some work in the past in Punjabi. We've launched a very small pilot program in English. So we're always looking at the questions of what languages we should be in. But we go where they go. So, for example, before 2012, we weren't doing a lot in West Africa, but we saw that that was a challenge that Al-Qaeda, especially after events in Mali, that Al-Qaeda and the Islamic Maghreb and its various offshoots were going to take advantage of that space. So we sought to do things in that space as well. So we go where they go. They go to Syria, we want to talk about Syria. We want to message on Syria because they are messaging on Syria. If tomorrow they go to another country, country X, that they haven't been in, that will become an area of interest for us as well. It's very much driven, of course, with what is the audience talking about? The audience where the enemy seeks to radicalize people, seeks to deceive people, What are the issues of the day that they are discussing as Muslims, as people interested in politics and world events? That is our driver. What is the daily discussion occurring in that space?
Well, among all these regions and languages, where do you think the greatest challenge lies today? Is it vis-a-vis al-Shabaab in Somalia, in Yemen, Pakistan?
Well, if you were to talk today about sheer volume, in other words, just the tempo and the sheer volume of stuff being produced, their number one battlefield in terms of messaging is Syria. The amount of information, false information, propaganda, images, video, etc., put out by extremists in Syria dwarfs that of any of the other places you mentioned. We work on Somalia. We work on the places where AQIM is in West Africa and in Pakistan and in Yemen. But if you're talking about sheer volume, it would be first and foremost what's happening in the Levant, especially in Syria.
That leads me to ask you the following, Ambassador Fernandez. How difficult is your job when at times U.S. policy inadvertently helps to create the very threats that your office is tasked to combat? And I'm thinking of Syria. Some critics say that because Washington didn't come to the aid of the unarmed rebel opposition being assaulted by President Bashar al-Assad, that perhaps we helped, as I said, inadvertently create a vacuum that gave rise to these jihadi groups we're seeing in Syria.
Well, I don't think it's so much about what the United States has done. Al-Qaeda always seeks to fill any vacuum that it sees where it thinks it can have some advantage. It is, in the end, a parasitical entity that seeks to attach itself to crises, conflict, war, political space where it thinks it can take advantage of. For example, political events in northern Mali led to an opportunity for AQIM to seize parts of that country. The same thing happened with Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula in the aftermath of the political turmoil of the Arab Spring, seeking to drive out President Ali Abdullah Saleh. Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula took advantage of certain space to seize parts of the country. So it isn't about what the United States does or doesn't do. Al-Qaeda worldwide is always looking for what are the gaps where governance is lacking, where there's turmoil, where there's revolution or war, to see if somehow they can leverage a situation of confusion, of anarchy, of violence to their benefit. In a sense, they are literally like a parasite that will attach itself onto a host to seek to use that host for its own benefit.
You're listening to Press Conference USA on the Voice of America. Our guest is Ambassador Alberto Fernandez. He's coordinator of the Center for Strategic Counterterrorism Communications in the U.S. Department of State. And I'm Carol Castiel. This is a reminder that Press Conference USA is also available online as a podcast. Please visit our website, voanews.com/PCUSA. Also, we love to hear from you. Please send your feedback on guests and topics to PCUSA@voanews.com. Tell us where you're from and if you listen to the program via the radio or internet. Here's another shout out to Sidi Mohamed Maiga from the village of Ramatulai in Burkina Faso. Well, back to Ambassador Fernandez. Ambassador Fernandez, how is it that you measure impact or success? What are the kinds of benchmarks you're looking for?
First of all, I would say that I think even if we had no benchmarks, this is a space worth working in. The fact that this is so important to the adversary means it should be important to us. So we need to be in this space. We need to be messaging on a daily basis against Al-Qaeda. I'm talking about the U.S. government as a whole, not just CSCC. We need to be active and aggressive and correcting the record and pointing out the obvious disconnect that exists between the words of Al-Qaeda and its actions. But when you look at metrics, obviously there's a whole range of things that you can look at. First of all, there are measures of performance. So if you produce a thing, a picture, a video, a blog post, you can measure the reaction by how many times it's viewed, how many times it's reposted or retweeted or whatever. That's a measure of performance. as for measures of effectiveness, that's more difficult in the sense that one of the things you're trying to measure is unmeasurable, which is what happens inside the human mind, the human psyche. I was thinking of doing one thing and I decided not to do it.
Because they may have seen a video or a tweet or something from your office.
Exactly. How are you going to know somebody's going to stand up and say, well, you know, actually, I was considering joining Al-Qaeda, but I decided not to do so. So that's going to be very difficult to measure, if not impossible. We do have, fortunately, the empirical evidence of what Al-Qaeda does about us. They've tried to block us many times. They've tried to spam us. They've tried to eliminate our presence on Twitter repeatedly. So we know that it bothers them. Last summer, one of the most ferocious and brutal elements of Al-Qaeda, a true offspring of the Al-Qaeda worldview, which is called the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant, started a special unit on Twitter to go after their enemies. It was called the Al-Battar Media Battalion. And this media battalion was launched in the summer of 2013. The first entity that the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant decided to go after on Twitter was us, was our digital outreach team, the Fariq al-Tawasul al-Elektroni, as it's called in Arabic, of the State Department. So I think that's a pretty good evidence of effectiveness that we were number one on their hit parade.
Indeed. I was wondering, since the videos and information and tweets that you post have the imprimatur of the U.S. government, so people who see them know that this is from the U.S. government, does that help or hurt, do you think? Does it detract in some ways?
Well, it's a reality, and it has, like any other way of doing thing, it has pluses and minuses. I personally am a big believer in freedom of expression, so I think the fact that everything that we do is branded, everything that we do is marked, means that it eliminates any confusion or misconception that this is somebody pretending to be something that they're not. We criticize Al-Qaeda, we go after them, we confront their propaganda. They, of course, are afraid to respond in kind in many ways and, of course, seek to silence the conversation. Very similar to what they do on the ground. Of course, they are afraid of people expressing their views in Syria or in Yemen or in Pakistan or in Mali. They seek to shut them up by killing them. So it wouldn't be surprising that, of course, in the virtual world, they would also seek to block you or silence you.
Well, Ambassador Fernandez, you said that your office also tries to work with partners, and I would like you to discuss that because, as you just said, ideally what your office does, while very important, would also be done by local groups or perhaps reformed radicals who have renounced their militant views, and they themselves would propagate, you know, this kind of narrative against violent extremism, exposing the disconnect between words and the deeds of Al-Qaeda and its groups. Is your office in touch with grassroots groups or individuals who can further your goal, our goal?
Very much so. Look, our work is important, but more important than the work of CSCC, our direct work, is the work of people in the field, in the countries of the world, in countries that have been victims of terrorism. Them helping others communicate, spread the message of the reality that they face day to day. So we do try to work with civil society, we try to work with NGOs, we try to work with organizations that give voice to the voiceless, to the thousands of victims and survivors of Al-Qaeda terror. You know, Al-Qaeda kills people every day. And of course, they love to boast about Westerners they kill. And given the nature of the media in many ways has a very strong Western focus. We ourselves in the West also talk about ourselves. Okay, that's the nature of international media. But every day there are the hidden and the silent victims of Al-Qaeda. How many times have you seen in a newspaper or online a little piece that says 7 people killed in a roadside bomb in Pakistan by extremists? Or 5 people killed waiting for a bus in Ramadi in Iraq. Or it's an imam in West Africa or in Somalia who has stood up against the extremism of these people. And all too often, those victims are forgotten. In many cases, people don't even talk about What are their names? What are their life stories? It's so important for us to work with others, to memorialize, to honor, and to respect the lives and the contributions of people who have suffered at the hands of these mad dog killers. That is more important than the work we do. If you're in Nigeria, you know, and you've suffered at the hands of Boko Haram, you know, what are the tools that you have to be able to get your message out? That's not our role. We can help, but it's a role, it's a responsibility of all of us. You know, the people in Mali who have suffered at the hands of Al-Qaeda and the Islamic Maghreb. People in Syria today who are suffering between the horrific violence of the Assad regime on the one hand and the horrific violence of Al-Qaeda on the other hand. We need to help the Syrian people get their own message out. And they're doing heroic work. You see the work of civil society people from Syria and places like Raqqa, how they are with almost nothing getting the message out about the reality that they see every day, about the horrific violence and the terror that Al-Qaeda is inflicting upon them. That is the most important story. I think it's an uncovered story by American and Western media, but it's an uncovered story worldwide.
Indeed, and a very important one. What about institutional partners that your office may or may not have, whether in Europe or other, like Turkey, Tunisia, other countries that, particularly with Muslim majorities, who also decry the narrative of Al-Qaeda and need to combat it? Are you working with them as well?
Yes, we do. The United States is a partner in a very important initiative, which is called the Global Counterterrorism Forum, GCTF, an initiative headed by Turkey and other countries, including a whole range of countries. We in CSCC are active partners in that forum. In fact, we co-chair with the United Kingdom the Countering Violent Extremism Through Communications workstream. So through that effort, working with our partners in the State Department's Counterterrorism Bureau and with a range of countries throughout the world, many of the Muslim countries, we seek to work together to promote best practices, sharing views, sharing opinions on how to do the work more effectively.
In terms of your staffing and resources, I was wondering, do you think you have the staff and resources commensurate with the task? I mean, we're hearing that the Defense Department will be cutting its budget and that we are going to go more into this fighting terrorism in cyberspace. So one would think that your office could benefit.
We're a small office, relatively small office. We have about 50 people. Of course, you can always do more with more resources. But I think the challenge for government, not just in our work overall, is to work smarter and more efficiently. In other words, it's not about large amounts of money. You know, the use of the internet is not particularly expensive. It's about having the right message for the right audience. It's about being responsive, about being authentic, being human, connecting with people. You don't need a lot of money to connect with people.
We have a question from a listener, Joshua Hoffman. He's an Australian who actually resides in Vienna. And he says, what your office is doing, you would think it would be an easy job. And he goes on to say, how many pictures of mosques blown up by Al-Qaeda could you post? How many pictures of mosques that are actually guarded by U.S. and coalition troops around the world? Again, alluding to the fact that there's so much that one can actually demonstrate how the United States and others in the West have nothing to do with what Al-Qaeda is saying they're actually doing.
Well, that's true. But first, you have certain challenges. One is they have a head start, in that Al-Qaeda itself has been around for a while, but even before that, the certain worldview, the kind of takfiri worldview, has been going on for decades. And I think the West was probably somewhat slow in responding in an organized way to this challenge. So there are decades of lead time that the adversary had in kind of setting the rules of the game, and we've been playing catch up. So that's a challenge. One. Two, we need to be frank. Sometimes we are our own worst enemies, and we have made mistakes in the past. Many of them the United States has recognized and others have recognized, which have been used, exaggerated, twisted by the adversary to hurt us, to poison our image. You know, how many people know, for example, that the United States is the largest humanitarian donor to the Syrian people? How many people know that the United States, I served in Darfur, I was a U.S. Chargé d'Affaires in Sudan. The U.S. is the largest humanitarian donor to the suffering people of Darfur. All of them are Muslims, and yet that's not well known. So Al-Qaeda seeks to present a view of the world which is simplistic, but it preys upon people's fears, ignorance, frustration. It seeks to polarize people and to drive them in a situation where they think that there is no future but this exaggerated, extreme future that Al-Qaeda seeks to present to the world. We need to counter that. I think there's a very positive story that can be told, not about America. That's part of the story. But I think in the end, Al-Qaeda fails and Al-Qaeda's message fails because it's mostly about hate and not about love. It's not about building the Muslim world. It's about destroying things. I am not a Muslim, but I've spent my entire adult life in working in the region, in learning Arabic, in studying Islam. It is my life's work. And I see the glories of Islam. I see the glories of a world civilization, a civilization that brought art and science and advancement to the world. And I see these primitives, these backward people who are destroying this precious heritage built up for centuries. And it's tragic. So, I mean, your caller is right, or your questioner is right that it should be easy, but it isn't easy. It's a work that we need to do bit by bit and day by day.
Ambassador Alberto Fernandez is coordinator of the Center for Strategic Counterterrorism Communications in the U.S. Department of State. Mr. Ambassador, thank you so much for your terrific insights and for the work you're doing.
Thank you.
Press Conference USA on the Voice of America was produced in Washington. Thanks to Anna Zalewski for booking our guest. Our engineer was Nick Krupe. And I'm Carol Castiel. Join me again next week for another Press Conference USA on the Voice of America.
Press Conference USA on the Voice of America. From Washington, D.C., the nation's capital, the Voice of America has brought you Press Conference USA. You can email your questions or comments about this edition of Press Conference USA to pcusa@voanews.com. And to keep up with all the latest news, tune to the Voice of America on radio, television, or the World Wide Web. Join us again next week when another newsmaker speaks with journalists about the critical issues facing the United States and the world. We'll see you next week for another edition of Press Conference USA on the Voice of America.